We take it to the UK and bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford. Sir Kenny, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. As Ernie'd say, I woke up this morning.
Okay, good enough. Derek Chisora, supposedly long in the tooth, he gave Joseph Parker a good run yesterday.
Well, I watched the fight live last night, and depending on what way you view a fight, I had Chisora winning the fight. I thought Parker was lazy. Chisora was doing an awful lot of body attacking, body punching. And I think the judging was basically, you're either a Joe Frazier type judge or an Ali type judge that goes for the headshots. I personally think Chisora deserved the win. I really did. I thought he worked hard and he won most of the rounds for me.
Is Joseph Parker like the most undeserving heavyweight that there is? I mean, the guy sort of got by not being much.
Yeah, and you know the frustrating thing with him is he's like Andy Ruiz. He has real fast hands, real sharp shots. He's got a real good jab. He's got real fast hands, good sharp shots, but he's lazy. He just didn't seem to have any confidence in his fitness.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And of course, well, I don't even want to get in depth on that one. Next week, Billy Joe Saunders, of course, from the UK, is going to take on Canelo Alvarez. Of course, I guess he's close to the, if not over here in the United States. Where is he training? Is he here in the United States already?
Oh, yeah, he's been there a week already, yeah.
All right.
Tyson Fury's over there with him.
Okay. Well, speaking of Tyson Fury, are those guys ever going to fight?
Well, I'm told the fight is definitely going to happen. It's just all politics. It's getting stupid now because, you know, the promoter. I heard a statement from Bob Arum to say it's dead in the water. I'm told otherwise. I'm told the fight is definitely going to happen. June is going to be the date.
But you've been saying that. You and I have been telling our people that for like 6 or 7 months now. I mean, we've got to either get off the pot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they got to get the finger out and give the fans what they deserve and what's right. You know, and get the fight on. The longer they drag it out, the less exciting the fight's going to be for me because the two of them is going stale in gymnasiums.
Okay, Chisora, you thought won last night. What about the ladies' fight? What did you think of that one?
I thought it was a great fight. I thought I scored that fight a draw. Again, Katie Taylor was the busy fighter, but you got to look at what she was hitting: gloves, elbows. You know, Jonas had a good tight defense, and she was throwing some damn good shots, some good powerful shots, and you know she hit Katie Taylor 3 or 4 times for me, and I scored that fight without being impartial. I scored it a draw.
Okay, the scores are 96-94, 6-4 in rounds, 96-95. Wow, 1 point, 96-95 twice. Does this deserve a rematch?
Definitely. It was the fight of the night, you know.
And they were amateur rivals at one point. They fought before as amateurs.
Yeah, they fought in the Olympics, I believe.
In the Olympics. Oh, man. So Katie Taylor gets a close one here. Women's boxing, I don't think Clarissa Shields is the face of women's boxing. Some people think she is. But I really think there's young girls coming up. There's Superbad Estrada, Ciencias Estrada. I don't know if you saw her or not, but she was in action a few weeks ago. There are women coming up that are starting to make me want to be women's boxing fans again, because for a long time I wasn't.
The intriguing thing about the women's boxing is the 2-minute rounds. Because it's a 2-minute round, it's a psychological thing. They just go hell for leather. They just go right out the blocks. No messing about, no finding, just straight in for the kill, you know. And this is probably one of the reasons it's making real good exciting fights.
Okay, 9-1 underdog. 9-1 underdog, Giovanni Straffen, 24-3-1, 16 KOs, knocked out former world title challenger James Tennyson in the first round, 28-4, 24 KOs. I guess that was the upset of the night, huh? 9-1?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Without a doubt. If we only had a looking glass.
And what about Chris Eubank? How's Chris Eubank looking?
He's looking good. Looking real good, in fact. But you know, the ones that we match up to is, out of the two of them, Conor Benn's the better fighter.
Okay, so are they going to hook it up for the Battle of England, or are they going to go separate ways before they do that?
They'll go separate ways before they do that, you know.
You know, don't you think they could make like a fistful of money right away, and if they did it right the first time and it was competitive, they could do it again?
Yeah. The problem is, Pedro, as you know, in the 70s and 80s, if you were a good fighter, you were matched against, you know, the top fighters. Now, boxing has become a business. It's like they want to protect the fighter for the maximum amount of time to get them as much money as they can. And then, you know, it's crazy. And they're missing out on these great fights that, you know, which we're all missing out on.
But let's be honest, you know, great fights, you know, you could watch 100 fights and you're probably not going to get the same amount. If you watch 100 fights and 100 baseball games, I think Max Kellerman told me this about 25 years ago. But if you watch 100 baseball games and 100 boxing matches, you would probably find more percentage wise, there would be a higher percentage of baseball games that are entertaining outside of boxing matches. What I'm trying to say is boxing's rare and few. You don't have that many great fights.
No. That's right, and particularly today. You know, the great fights today are in the lower weight classes, the heavyweight division, and you know, the light heavyweight divisions and stuff like this. You know, they're not producing the fights like, you know, Matt Franklin provided, like Ali and Holmes provided, and Joe Frazier. Oh, we were so spoiled back then. Now it's like watching some of these fights. It's like watching grass grow.
You know, the late Matthew Saad Muhammad, you're talking about Matt Franklin there. That's who he was born, Matt Franklin, of course, the former WBC champion, passed away a few years ago. I watched him give his all. Like, it was like he was almost willing. I mean, he was willing to die to win. He would throw it all out there.
Yeah, Yoki Lopez, for one, what a fight that was.
Yeah, and Yoki, of course, he and I sat together at a Northern California Boxing Hall of Fame dinner. I guess that was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And he's still very lucid. He talks real well. I mean, for all the punches he took that he had taken in his time, the residual effects are not apparent.
Yeah, I was with Yoki Lopez 4 years ago. 4 years ago, yesterday, in fact, at the California Boxing Hall of Fame, when I inducted Ernie into I gave the speech to induct Ernie into the California Boxing Hall of Fame. And we were there, and, you know, we were reminiscing about, you know, it was his birthday the other day, the great Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, you know. Just so competitive fighters back then. And, of course, Britain's own John Conte.
Yeah, John Conte. Wow. You know, some great memories there. As far as pound for pound concerned, who's the best fighter pound for pound in all the UK?
In all the UK at the moment, I've always got a bit to prove. Yeah, I'll be leaning towards Conor Benn.
I knew you were going to come up with that. Of course, the son of the Dark Destroyer, Nigel Benn. You know, it's so hard for fruit to fall off the tree and be as good as the tree itself. You think this kid's got a shot? Maybe being as good as his father?
I really do. Maybe not quite as good as his father. He's got a chance of being a real good champion, because he wasn't given a rich kid's upbringing, if you understand what I mean. He's had to fight for what he's got, you know. Although he's Nigel's son, he came from a broken home, and, you know, he never had it as great as, you know, should we say Chris Eubank's son. You know, he's a bit more hungrier.
You know, like, you mean like Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.'s kid, when his father grew up, his father was living in a railroad car in Tijuana. That's where he was living when he was doing four-round fights, living in a railroad car. And then he's living in mansions. The kid's living in mansions. So you can't expect the kid to be nearly as hungry as the father.
Yeah, exactly. And when you talk about hungry fighters, I'll tell you now, my hungriest fighter of all time is the great Jack Dempsey. Some of the stories I heard about, this guy used to travel from town to town on the railroads, hanging onto rail lines, and he wouldn't eat for 3 and 4 days.
Yeah, he was a mad dude. Now, real quick, I got like a minute and a half left. The Nigel Benn, Gerald McClellan fight, I was of the opinion the referee blew that fight and probably should have called that a fight, a knockout in the first round from McClellan. What did you think?
No, I'd go along with the end results. I think you've got to give, in a championship fight, you've got to give champion and challenger the maximum. You know, it's a world title fight.
But he got knocked into the second row. He got knocked into the second row, and it took him longer than 10 seconds to get back.
I think it's like wrestling. You get an extra 5 seconds once you're out the ring.
You know, you're the greatest when it comes to boxing from the UK. I want to thank you so much. And of course, your wife gets upset. She's got to get upset because it's late on Sunday night there. So I thank you for your time each and every week, my brother. God bless you.
You too. Take it easy.